What's a good word you've heard this week? Something nice someone said to you or perhaps about someone else. Anybody?
Thank you.
Thank you. Excellent. Nice. Simple words. Very nice words. Thank you, Bob, for that. Good job. Somebody else. Here's something nice said this week. Yes?
Nice.
I'm sorry?
Nice.
That you were missed. Nice.
Amazing.
Oh, amazing. Okay, amazing. Nice. Yeah. Everyone know who that was? Because you want to say that about you, right? You were Dale, you were amazing this week. Wouldn't that be great? That is totally great. How about somebody over on the side? The words that you heard this week that were uplifting and encouraged you in some way. Do you hear anything nice? Get out more is the first thing. That's what I'm going to say right now. Because you've got to hear these words. You know, when we have words that lift us up, sometimes we just let them go right over our heads. Because we're just too busy. We're trying to get stuff done. But the words that we share with one another are super powerful. The words, for instance, thank you. I mean, you've gone to, of course, a person behind the counter, a cashier or a clerk, customer service person. And they always say, you know, hi, how are you? Or they'll say, how may I help you? But when they say it like this, it doesn't go over big. For instance, how may I help you? Not real big. Or, thank you for coming to our store, have a nice day. I mean, that just doesn't do anything. But if someone were to say, thank you for coming to our store today, and they really meant it, you just sense them meaning that. Thank you for coming today. That's just like, oh my gosh, I think they meant it. Because a lot of times, if we take sort of the conversations that we hear in the newspapers, we take conversations we see on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, we take a look at some of the conversations that our friends down in Washington are having with one another. These words don't often lift us up. And in fact, sometimes, although we don't want to judge, sometimes we just might get the sneaking suspicion that maybe they're said on purpose to inflict injury. Oh my gosh, couldn't be true. That the words that we share with one another in a national conversation are sometimes more contemptible than courteous. And the only way that we can prevent that, or the only way to address that, is to take responsibility for our own words and our own language. You know, Jesus spent a great deal of time, although too short from our point of view, those 3+ years that he was here on our planet, walking our streets, eating in our restaurants and homes, and dancing to our music. And Jesus was experiencing life as we have, yet without sin. That Jesus' teachings are important to us. And today's lesson from Matthew chapter 5 in a parallel passage in Luke, no doubt there were many, many other occasions when Jesus said, sit down, I'd like to share with you a little bit about what I think is important in life. And so he might, in this particular collection, when Jesus says he saw the crowds, began to speak and taught, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, the only people that would not like to hear those words are people that they already had the kingdom of heaven in their pocket, who felt that because of their wealth or because of their experience or because of their own, sort of their own distorted point of view, let's say, that they thought themselves more important than others. They already thought the kingdom of heaven was in their pocket. And so Jesus senses this. Some of you all perhaps had those kinds of attitudes, the attitude of hubris, the attitude of pride. And so Jesus just wants to recalibrate everyone with these kinds of words. And all of us need recalibration from time to time. Everything in our life needs a recalibration. We don't have to be too cruel or mean or judging about what was, but it's good for us to take time, especially in the top part of the year is a fun time when everybody's sort of open to recalibrate things, to kind of take a fresh look at things. And Lord knows we're all grateful for Punxsutawney Phil, who says spring is coming soon. I mean, that's just like the best news ever we could have had today, perhaps. Well, until now, because Jesus says, I have some words. I want you to recalibrate yourself by. But it's not just the words that have power. The words are important, But it's because all of these words can result in different behaviors. For example, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Now, Jesus, at the end of this particular passage, in talking about those who persecute you in my place, they're not saying that you did something that is worthy of persecution or worthy of judgment. He's saying that because you did something in my name, a good thing you did in my name, if other people don't regard that in a positive way, well, then join the prophets club. Because this is how often righteousness is treated in the world at large. And despite the kindness that we do, sometimes it just doesn't result in the outcomes that we wish. Jesus says, when that happens, you just remember that in the long view, your reward is in heaven. But in the current view, all these other expressions, Jesus, there's an experience that follows each of these blessings. The first one I said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Remember, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is theirs, but he also said the kingdom of heaven is among you. That's not just a future look. Like, blessed are you who are poor and whose spirits are always down. Because just remember, in the great by and by, it'll be okay. No, these words are tangible expressions of words that matter, that result in behaviors that matter. Blessed are the poor in spirit, because you have the kingdom of heaven. It's yours. And for those of you who mourn, you will be comforted. The tense in this is not just future distant, but future present. Look for the comfort. And for us as a community of faith, when we see people mourn around us, when we experience it at a national event, or we experience in a local event, or we have a personal relationship with someone who's mourning. Maybe one of the least helpful things we can say is, don't worry, it's going to be better. Because, you know, it might not be. And truthfully, we don't know that. But I do know that there are things that we can say, or sometimes not say, are by our actions and our prayerful living, that when someone is mourning, they can be comforted in the here and now. Our congregation is put in this community for one reason, for a reason, which includes that when there is mourning around us, this is a place that people can find hope. And people can find comfort. We don't fix all the mistakes, we can't address all the problems, but this can be a place of hope. Find hope here. And that's because Jesus stands in front of us, as he does today at the table, and says, everybody's welcome. Even if the days you feel like not so good, even days when you have that conversation with your doctor and it's just not the good news that you had expected. Maybe in times you get some news from a neighbor or a friend, you say, man, that's awful news. But God says, I am with you in the here and now to offer comfort, and you in return can offer that comfort to others. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Jesus is someone who is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and yet he has the whole universe at his disposal. And yet he willingly, in his own humility, he offered himself as a sacrifice for you and for me. That's why he can say, blessed are you who are meek, for you shall inherit things. There are things coming to us, blessings that we can hardly count. But Jesus says, don't lose hope because these things are yours. The merciful will receive mercy. The pure in heart will see God. The peacemakers will be called the children of God. This is not just a constitution or perhaps a words to live by that applies in the future, but they're words that apply right now. I was delighted last week by the annual meeting and the great luncheon that preceded it and the energizing worship that preceded that when we were over in Price Hall. If you weren't able to be with us, the annual reports are online. You can find them under the Resources tab on our website or on the page of the event where it said Annual Congregational Meeting on January 31st. You could just get a copy of the report, and that report has been updated and corrected since our meeting last week. Unfortunately, all the food is gone, so you'll have to just do, you're on your own for that. But the annual meeting was a great experience. it's a time for a congregation to recalibrate. Almost every Presbyterian congregation has an annual meeting in January. Why is that? Because everybody is open to new things in January. And it's a chance for all of us to say what really matters here at our in our community. What is most important for us here? Because when we look all around us, we see things that trouble us. And so Jesus' words are not meant to be just some distant blessing. Hang on, because someday you'll get a blessing. But we have to find ways of putting Jesus' words into practice. What's more important? Believing the right things about Jesus, or just following Jesus' teaching? Now, I won't ask for any responses, but sometimes our life almost finds that kind of division. In other words, we think that as long as people are following in the ways of Jesus, that's enough. And that would be awesome. Wouldn't it be great if even Jesus' golden rule we saw more on Capitol Hill? Man, that would just be a good thing. Democrat, Republican, indifferent, man, woman, experienced, inexperienced. The people that drive the Uber cars around D.C. or the people that are sitting behind the big fancy desks in the Capitol. If people would just practice that, wouldn't that just be awesome? And it would. Did you know that some 75% of all the congressional members, both the House and the Senate, meet regularly, at least monthly, in private and small prayer groups? 75%. And they meet for prayer, and sometimes they have also Bible studies associated with that, but at least prayer. And you would think that would just have more impact. And this, I think, is because that we sometimes think about our spiritual life, well, as long as I just believe the right things, then I'm good. And you are. If we believe that Jesus is the one, when we receive Jesus, that we have received the gift of a lifetime that lasts for eternity. Our sins are forgiven. Our guilt can be removed. We can start every new day as a fresh day. Every day can be January 1. And yet believing in Jesus and getting all of those benefits is absolutely amazing. But Jesus wasn't just a great teacher. So even if we apply the wonderful things in what we sometimes call the Beatitudes, which is just a fancy word for blessings, these beautiful words, Beatitudes, that even if we apply these things, is that really enough? Because when we look, say, at the letters of Paul, which is at least half of the New Testament, do you know how often he spoke about Jesus' words? There's one passage where the Apostle Paul actually refers to Jesus' words, and it's the very words that I often repeat as we come to the Lord's table. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and gave thanks. That's the only quote of Jesus in Paul's letters. Now, you would think that the early followers of Jesus, those who say, I am following where Jesus sends me, I am going, my sins are forgiven, and I'm zooming into the future with Jesus. You would think that the followers of Jesus might want to hear a little bit more about what Jesus actually said. And just as an example, Paul was so impressed with what Jesus did that he felt like putting Jesus' words into practice, all things being equal, he would bless the church the most he could, and that would be put Jesus' behaviors into practice. Believe in Jesus. But belief without action just doesn't put a smile on Jesus' face. And yet the actions alone are insufficient. So even if we act like a Christian but don't believe in Jesus, there's something missing there. The core, the power in our life is missing. But if we just believe where we have that core and that power in our life, because Jesus is indwelling every believer, the Holy Spirit belongs to every believer, and just because we believe that and it's the center core of our life, if our actions don't correlate to that, then what's the difference? And so that's why we have the four Gospels. That's why we have the book of Acts, sort of a bridge. It's sort of a gospel. It's the story about the early followers of Jesus, and it's what they did. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Jesus is doing. And his teaching is maybe only 35% of the gospel. The other 65% is all what Jesus did. Because it's important that Jesus didn't just come to teach us,
now if you believe this, you're all good. Everybody, here's the test. I'm going to teach you the test. Was I born sinless? Yes or no? Got that right. Am I the Son of God? Oh, got that right. Check, check. Did I go to the cross? Yes, check that. That's perfect. Good job. And that's sufficient. Jesus says, no, don't just believe the right words. Have the right actions. That's the hardest thing I want to hear. Because it's so much easier sometimes to believe than it is to do. But that's the opportunity all of us have this year. To take, for instance, all the words that were shared at the annual meeting. Boy, there are a lot of words, I know. That annual report, I think, ended up being 35 pages. And that still doesn't tell the whole story of what we did in 2019. Just amazing what you have done. But those words alone, they all point to what people did. Very, very few stats. Very few just, you know, this. And it's mostly trying to describe what we did here. And so our life this year will be marked not only by what we believe, the core of our life, the thing that drives us every day, but it will be when our belief gets put into action. And that's why we come to the table. It's not just, did Jesus die on the cross? Well, yes, he did. Well, how does your life show that? Did Jesus rise again from the dead? Absolutely, I believe that. Well, how does your life show that? There's a million different ways, each of us differently, how we can show that truth of a resurrected life. Having a cemetery around this church should remind us every time we pass it that we're not just a church of the living, we're the church of the living and the dead. That people who have died believing in Christ, we will meet them once again. And our hope isn't just now or then, but it's also future. But the only way that people in our community today will know what we believe is if it correlates to what we do. That's the opportunity that each of us have. Clean slate today, no matter what's preceded it, we have a new opportunity to take these words but put them into practice. And I look forward to what we will experience in 2020. And especially that it all begins with what Jesus did. He wasn't just a great teacher. He was our Savior. And he went to the cross and rose again and promised to return again. And that is what drives us into a future. Let us pray.